I give you a warm welcome to the meeting tonight. I hope that tonight our prayer would be that you will be blessed, not just because of coming in our company. We're happy to have you here, but really when it comes to this meeting tonight, it's for you. And it's really about an eternal benefit that you could have. And it's not in a church. It's nothing special about myself or Peter. But we can tell you about a very special person. In fact, he's the Son of God, and he came into the world to die. He went to Calvary's cross. We were just singing that. And if you're willing to put your faith in him, it's not in a church, it's not in a person, it's not in your own works. If you're willing to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you will be saved, not just for time, but for eternity. So that is really the purpose of our meeting. We would certainly welcome you tonight. We'd welcome you, Lord willing, next Sunday evening as well for the gospel. And as well on Wednesday night at Rosebank Gospel Hall, Brother Scott McLeod will be there for ministry at 7:30. And you'll be welcome there as well. And youth group tomorrow night at 6:30. Prayer meeting and Bible study here at 7:30 on Thursday. And these meetings are, of course, all in the will of the Lord. So we'll just take a moment and ask for help, and we will pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful we could sing about the one that did go to the cross. He was nailed to that cross. And even though in this society we're not familiar with even capital punishment, but much less crucifixion, such a gruesome, horrible death, and yet the Son of God that created all things, he came into the world born as a baby. And as he lived here, and as he was rejected by his own people, turned over to the Romans, and there he was outside of Jerusalem, nailed by his hands and his feet, and he was there for us to bear our sins on his own body on the tree. So we just ask for help tonight to present the Lord Jesus, to present the gospel, and we just pray that all the glory would be to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as we would give thanks in his name. Amen. I'm going to read first in Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Maybe just as a bit of an introduction, if you ever stopped and just thought, maybe I have imagination, but if you ever stopped and thought, well, if the Lord Jesus himself was to stand on this pulpit and preach, what would he say? Well, we're actually going to read a little bit about a sermon, about a message the Lord Jesus preached, and I'm sure there was more words that he said than was recorded, but really the element of every gospel message can be really boiled down to this, and we're going to read in a couple other passages as well. But as the Lord Jesus began his public ministry, that's where we're going to cut in here, in Mark chapter 1, and verse 14. So Mark would be your second book in the New Testament, Matthew, and then Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. That would be John the Baptist. Really, he is the cousin of the Lord Jesus. And he really, his role was really to, in a sense, pave the way or make the way for the Lord Jesus that would come. And we can read that, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the time is at hand, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Very simple words, repent and believe the gospel. We're going over to Acts chapter 20. We're going to read some words that the Apostle Paul was speaking to his friends. In fact, he was really bidding a farewell message to some of his friends. And he's really just giving a little rundown on some of his activities. And we're just going to cut in at verse 20. It's really 21 that I'm thinking of. So Paul, he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus. And he says, and how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly from house to house, and this is what I want you to think about, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, listen to this, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to take a reference from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, really just as a warning, just to really remind you what the Lord Jesus spoke oftentimes very plainly, very bluntly. And often it would seem, as humanity really, when the pressure's on and it's easy for us to deflect and to start to look at other people. And the Lord Jesus could pick this up. So he really, in Luke chapter 13 and verse 1, there was two events that evidently happened around this time. So the Lord Jesus really is using them as an illustration to really teach them a very important lesson. So Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. And there was present at that season, at that time, some that told the Lord Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. In my understanding, they were offering sacrifices, and Pilate, who was really representative of the Roman government, he sent soldiers in, and many of those, or some of those people were offering, they were killed while they were sacrificing. So he says, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and then he asks the question, and Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose you that those Galileans were sinners above all Galileans. Maybe you've had that thought before. If you look in the world and you can think of, you don't have to go very far on social media or on the news or even just as you have a conversation at the coffee shop, it's pretty easy for us to look at other people and say, well, that's just happened to them because they are bad people. And that's really the way we as humans, we like to elevate ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. Well, Lord Jesus, he gives them a very, very stern warning. He says, I tell you nay, or I tell you no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he speaks about another event, verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell at Jerusalem? And again he says, I tell you nay, I tell you no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. So as you can tell, the Lord Jesus was very plain the need for repentance. So as I mentioned in my beginning, as the Lord Jesus came and he began to preach the gospel, it was two very simple elements. He said, repent and believe the gospel. And that's really, and I understand that in the context, he's dealing with something slightly different, but still the fact that the Lord Jesus had come. The Lord Jesus was beginning his public ministry, and at the end of that ministry, he would be crucified. And these were people that were, many of them were religious. Many of these people, they memorized large portions of the Old Testament, but yet they were trusting in something else other than the Lord Jesus. So maybe you were here tonight, and I want to ask you tonight, what are you trusting in? Or maybe you're not even so much taken up with what you're trusting in, but as I mentioned already, maybe you're trying to compare yourself with other people and say, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't murdered anybody. I'm not a bank robber. I haven't did bad stuff to my fellow human beings. But as the Lord Jesus came preaching the gospel, he said, repent and believe the gospel. You know, it's easy for us to really measure ourselves, number one, by our own standard. Or, as I've already mentioned, it's easy for us to almost measure ourselves with other people. But the fact of the matter is, as it was Luke reminded us this morning from Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we can, create our own measuring stick. You know, there's a number of here we work in construction, and we use the measuring tape, and those measuring tapes are set to a standard. And as we pull those out and we make our mark, well, if you buy this tape or the tape that you buy in 5 years from now, they're supposed to be the same standard. You know, we live in a world today, don't we, where they have tried to move the standards. Things that the Bible has spoken that are absolute and factual. Us and our wickedness as mankind, we like to move the post, don't we? You know, and again, I'm not. It's easy for us to judge other people, but what about you? Do I really understand what sin is? You know, we think about sin as really being those great things that I've already mentioned. Well, the Bible, talks about sin. Often, it's what we consider little things, lying, maybe fighting with your brother and sister, not doing what you're. Parents tell you, even silly thoughts, and I think we all are guilty of that. Or what about this, where you know that you should have done something, but you held back? Well, the Bible says that's sin as well. And really, as Paul would write it, and he would say, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. And that's why as the Lord Jesus began to preach the gospel to these religious people, and he said, repent and believe. The Apostle Paul, as he's journeying, and he's about to be arrested, and eventually Paul would meet the wrath of the Roman people where his head would be taken off a few years after this. And as he's bidding farewell to his friends at Ephesus, he reminds them that there's really two things that I was preaching. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I hope if you missed everything that I said tonight, we're glad to have you here tonight, but I'll tell you very plainly that the gospel hall cannot save you. I enjoy hearing my brother Ramsey. I'm looking forward to hearing him, but Peter can't save you either. My brother David, he's here as well, and he preaches the gospel, but he'll be the first to admit that he can't save you either. But the fact, we can point you to one that can. But as the Lord Jesus warned very clearly to these people that were no doubt thinking about these two current events that we read of in Luke chapter 13, what about the world in which we live? Recently and even today as we smell the smoke and those wildfires that have been burning for a few weeks, and they can be reminded of how quick time can change. And there's been other, earlier this year there's been flooding and there's been tornadoes and hurricanes and all these different things, and really in an instant our lives can change. You ever think that God might be trying to speak to you? God is really waiting for you to respond to the message of the gospel, and oftentimes God in his grace, he brings things into your life hoping that you will stop and consider. Or even as we can read in Romans, that sometimes God brings goodness into your life for the same reason, that you might stop and consider the God that holds your breath in his hand, that holds your breath in his hand. And I want to ask you today, have you even stopped to think of all the good things that God has given you? It's easy for us. We often do get taken up with the bad and the negative. And again, those things really should make us stop and reflect and to understand that I'm only in this world for a little time. But what about after? Is appointed unto mankind once to die, but what's the warning after this, the judgment? And as the Lord Jesus, as he would preach the gospel, and he was trying to get people to stop thinking about their religion, to stop thinking about themselves, to stop thinking about their own thoughts, and as he would say, repent and believe the gospel. And tonight we can tell you from the Bible that you need to stop, you need to repent, and you need to believe the gospel. What is the gospel? It's really, it just means good news. That's really all that word means, the gospel. And that is just really the reason the name is on the building, the gospel hall. We just want to let you know that this is where the gospel, one place where the gospel is preached. That's all it means. But it is a message, and what are you going to do with it? I could tell you something, maybe I'll say, well, come to my place on Friday night and I'll cook steak for you. I think I'm a fairly dependable person. I don't all show up at once and let me know you're coming, but I think if I told you that, there'd be those that would show up. But I could let you down. And as the gospel is coming, it's not coming from me. It's not coming from Peter. It's coming from the Bible. It's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as the Lord Jesus himself was preaching, and as he was warning people to stop, that's really the idea of repentance, is really to stop and change direction, or stop and change your mind, or stop from heading this way and turning and going the other way. Really, in reality, the fact is that we were born in sin. The fact is that we all humans were born going away from God because of our sin, because of who we are. And as Isaiah himself would say, that your sins and my sins have separated us from God. And the way that we are going is not getting closer to God. We live in a world, and that's really the philosophy of mankind. Well, we're hopefully getting better. Well, the Bible tells us we're not. And we naturally, if we are left to ourselves, will continue to go away from God. to a real place that the Bible talks about called hell and the lake of fire. The picture behind me is just simply a map trying to portray what is in the Bible. And the Bible really is the final authority. You know, it is a book that many people have spent, many very, very, very brilliant people have spent their whole lives trying to discredit it. And 500 years ago, many of these books were burned. And some of the people that translated, some of the people held them were burned as well. And here we are tonight, 500 years later, and you hold it in your lap. I hope you value the Word of God. You know, there are people in the world that would love to have one copy. Now, how many copies do you have in your home? How many times have you held the Word of God in your hands? And I want to ask you tonight, what does the Word of God mean to you? What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? What does the gospel mean to you? And are you going to stop and consider? And we are not here just trying to scare you or trying to convince you to change religions. That's not what it's about. We are here simply trying to warn you about judgment that is coming and warn you about the path that your sin has taken you on in the end. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And as the Lord Jesus would preach, and sadly, many of the people that heard the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the very Son of God, heard him preach, seen the miracles that he did, and sadly they rejected him. And I want to be very, very kind, but very, very plain. For 2,000 years now, they're suffering in a real hell. But what about you? Many of you have heard this message many times in your lives. You've heard the gospel preached, some of you from your very youngest, and tonight I want to ask you, are you going to respond, or are you going to continue to reject? You know, we often make this statement, and I'll make it again. You are going to make a decision when you leave this meeting tonight. You come in here, you will hear the gospel, and again, you're not turning against me or Peter. You're not turning against the gospel hall when you say no to God. You're saying no to God. It almost seems to be one of the first words that the kids learn. No. I never had to teach either of my kids that. It seems to be one of the first words that often kids learn to say is they shake their head or they say no. And tonight, you know what? Some of you, 20, 30 years, you have been saying no to God. Meanwhile, the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven. He came into the world. He lived. And he went to the cross. They put spikes through his hands and through his feet. He was so brutally misused by his own creatures. And what the words that he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As they were spiking his hands to the cross. I don't know about you, but if you tried to nail me to a tree, I'd be fighting pretty hard to keep the hands away. The Lord Jesus, he willingly laid his hands out. He was nailed to the cross. Why? Why was he there as the bearer of sin if my guilt on him was not laid? Or why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood if his dying, my debt is not paid? I can tell you tonight, and as we already sang it tonight, he was nailed to the cross for you. He suffered infinitely. We cannot describe the suffering that the Lord Jesus suffered upon the cross, even at the hands of man, but as we understand that in the darkness, in 3 hours, he suffered what no human could ever, ever, ever understand. That he took your sin. He took my sin. He took the sins of the whole world, and he suffered for every last sin. And here you are tonight, sitting in a comfortable building in O'Leary. And I look over at the audience. Most of you have heard this message before. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with the message of the gospel? The Lord Jesus himself, as he came preaching, and he would say, repent and believe the gospel. And we say to you tonight, repent and believe the gospel. We're not here again. We're not here on a membership drive. We're not here for your money. We're not here to I don't know what. We're here simply because we love you. We're here trying to represent the God of heaven and from the Word of God, trying to point you to the Savior, to the one that died upon the cross. And as Paul would tell those people, as he would say, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers you the free gift of salvation. Just like at Christmas time, you're presented that box. It's all nicely wrapped with a bow and has your name on it. What do? You just simply grab it, you open it up, and you just accept the gift for yourself. You don't have to open it up. The Lord Jesus himself has did all the work. He's went to the cross. He suffered. He died. But he's not dead. We believe the Lord Jesus absolutely died. The soldier pierced his side and the blood and the water flowed out, proving that he really died. But over in Jerusalem, I haven't been there. I know Peter's been there and Lydia's been there and a few others from here have been there in the past, and the tomb was empty. The third day, that stone was rolled away and they looked in and they seen the clothes laying. But the Lord Jesus, he was alive. And was it over 500 people seen him? And a few days later, as his disciples were in the mountain there, and as he lifted up his hands to bless them, the Lord Jesus began to rise and re into heaven itself. And there as they were looking up, and as the angel said, just as you have seen him go and come, he's going to come again. We are looking forward, those of us that are saved are looking forward to that moment. The Bible tells us that we're listening for a shout. We're going to be changed. We'll never sin again. We'll never have bad thoughts again. We'll never do bad deeds again. These bodies are going to be changed and we're going to rise. We're going to meet our Savior in the air to be forever with him. That is what Christians, that's what those of us that are saved, that's what we have to look forward to. What is the alternative? We look in the world where there's so much awful things that happen. The crime and the natural disasters. The sickness, all these things that really grieve us and cause so many tears. Can I tell you this? Nothing what's coming compared to what's coming to this world. I trust tonight that you will heed what the Lord Jesus himself preached, what the Apostle Paul preached, and what we have and will try to preach tonight. Repent, turn from your sin, turn from your own thoughts, turn from your own ways, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he went to the cross and he's made a full payment for your sin. And all you have to do is just simply put your weight in it. I use the illustration so often. You come in, you sat in a chair. I was facing the front, but I don't think any one of you has come in and grabbed your chair and slammed it and kicked it and bent the legs, trying to make sure it was going to hold you up. You just sat in the chair and it held you up. That chair could let you down. But I can tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ will never, ever let you down. Repent. And believe the gospel and the words of the Apostle Paul. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ.